Greenpeace versus Google?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon. Have you heard of the cloud? It's the mass of data and software and media that's stored and shared from massive server farms all over the country. And those data centers are being built at breakneck speed. But there's a problem, according to some in the environmental movement: increased energy use. Dirty energy use, to be specific. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman joins us live this morning. Good morning, Mitchell.
Good morning, Bob.
So tell me about this report. I gather it's very critical of companies like Google, Apple, Facebook.
Well, Greenpeace crunched numbers from several sources, including the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, and concluded that many of these companies' server farms in the U.S. will depend primarily on electricity produced from coal. So Greenpeace has a list of facilities on, as it were, its list of shame. It includes a new Apple data warehouse in North Carolina and Facebook's first data center that'll be built about 150 miles east of where I am in Portland, in a depressed mill town in eastern Oregon. Now, these are all regions where coal is a primary fuel for power plants.
Okay, so what are the companies saying?
Well, no one disputes that the internet cloud uses massive amounts of power, but the companies all say they're doing lots to operate green. They're purchasing carbon offsets, they're releasing their carbon footprints, generally saving energy. And that Facebook data center here in Oregon, for instance, it's going to be an incredibly energy-efficient building, cooled at night by high desert air.
But still run mostly by coal-powered electricity 24/7, I take it.
Right. And by the way, delivering a few dozen new jobs in a place that's seen timber mills close. Those mills, of course, spewed out plenty of carbon and pollution, and the area now has 17% unemployment. Bob, I have to say, you got to love the irony here, though. Greenpeace is organizing local environmental activists to pressure Facebook about this issue. They're doing it on Facebook.
Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman, thank you.
You're welcome.
Some numbers of significance to tell you about this morning. Don't look now, but how about that Dow? It'll be kicking off trading today from its highest level since September 2008, from 10,896. Asian stocks were able to build on that momentum, although European markets have barely budged. This actually might be a more telling number. Oil prices have spurted above $82 a barrel this morning. Analysts say speculators see rising stocks as a sign the world's thirst for oil is about to take off again. With the warmer weather, some shipping lanes in the Great Lakes have thawed out. Like anything else, the industry has been hurt by the recession, but Chicago Public Radio's Tony Arnold has found there's hope for a busier 2010 around the Great Lakes.
The shipping industry is looking so good, the locks at Sault Ste. Marie opened about a week early.
Steel is just about everything.
Jason Cirque is with the port in Superior, Wisconsin. He says a healthier auto industry and more construction work is creating a bigger demand for steel, something just about every port in the Great Lakes depends on. Anthony Ianello heads the Illinois Port District. He sees industries that use raw products, like steel and iron ore, trying to replenish their reserves, which they dipped into during the recession.
Those entities that had stockpiles utilized their stockpiles for the last 2 years. So this may be a small uptick just with the replenishment of those stockpiles that need to be replaced.
But both Ianello and Cirque agree. The big question is whether the orders can be sustained. In Chicago, I'm Tony Arnold from Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place, LendingTree.com. By Monsanto, committed to sustainable agriculture and creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields and conserve natural resources. More at ProduceMoreConserveMore.com. And by Citrix, offering GoToMyPC, providing remote access to a Mac or a PC from anywhere. More at gotomypc.com/market.
In case Apple's marketing juggernaut has somehow not reached you yet, the much-hyped iPad is supposed to hit stores this weekend. Apple's new touchscreen gadget is being touted as a rival to Amazon's digital book reader, the Kindle, and as so much more that we've just got to have. Not surprisingly, some businesses are racing to have applications ready for the iPad in time for Saturday's launch. So why not hop on the bandwagon with Marketplace's Rico Galliano?
When Apple's Steve Jobs first unveiled the iPad in January, one of the prototype apps he showed off came from the New York Times. It lets users read the Times in a digital format that's more like an actual print edition. Ever since, the iPad's been hailed as just the thing to convince people to pay for online print media. So it's no surprise other newspapers and magazines had high interest in quickly developing similar apps.
Very high interest.
That's Jeff Whatcott. He's with Brightcove, a company that helps media outlets like Fox and Time magazine make videos that work on smartphones. Now he says clients are clamoring for help making videos work on iPads.
We had enough inquiries that we said, you know what, we need to get our customers gathered together and do briefings in both New York and London, as opposed to having hundreds of individual meetings. That's not something that we pull together all the time.
But print media isn't the only industry with a lot to gain by jumping on the iPad bandwagon. Erica Ogg is a tech reporter with web magazine CNET. She says video game developers see the device as potential too, especially if they can be the first to roll out games for the iPad.
By getting out there first, you're going to get people's attention. People are going to be eager to try out these new apps on their iPad, and they're going to be probably a little bit more expensive than the apps were for the iPhone.
Still, no one knows whether consumers will ultimately use iPads at home or on the go, or how many of the things Apple will even sell, which makes it tough to predict which apps, if any, will be worth the effort. As NPD Group analyst Stephen Baker says,
yeah, it's great to be there, but, you know, if a tree falls in the forest, does anybody hear it make a sound?
In Los Angeles, I'm Rico Galliano for Marketplace.
And finally this morning, there's room for another money, honey. CNBC's attractive host, Maria Bartiromo, had trademarked her nickname on a bunch of products, including a Money Honey website, Money Honey toy cash registers, and Money Honey action figures. But the New York Post reports she has abandoned those trademarks. Who needs that kind of attention anyway when you're an accomplished journalist, a successful author, and the subject of a Joey Ramone fanboy song? This is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.